Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott. Today we've reached lesson 17 of the Psyche on a Course, and it's picked up momentum and steam. I can really feel a lot of people are starting to pick up on how delicate some of these lessons are, and by spreading them out, doing it every 2 weeks, it has sort of been amazing. At first, I applied it just a little bit and then a little bit more, and then went back and applied it. And over time, each of these exercises became very powerful, even though so simple. His discussion of the God power and the God law has been unique in the way that he discusses it. The history of Psyche on a being an actual mail order course and one of the largest religions for a very short period of time in the United States was Psyche on a. And I just find it fascinating that it flashed mostly through the writer, but this teaching in particular is great. It's called You Are Life. That is the point he is trying to make. I may read his book once I finish these courses called The Wanderer. He has a book called The Wanderer where he sort of meets Jesus on a train. It's very interesting and different from the way he writes these courses. He was a fascinating man, and his teachings have been great. Lesson 17, Psyche on a, You Are Life. Dear friend and student, this 17th lesson deals with the most stupendous problem we have to face. That problem is life itself. In life itself will be found the answer to the problem of life. This lesson is designed to show you how there may be a fullness of perfect supply, for it is a fact that the greater the need, the more sure is the supply. This lesson has quite a distinct bearing on the next one you will receive, so study it carefully, for it may contain the answer to your personal problems. Frank B. Robinson. Now in this lesson, I want to deal with the subject of life a little further. You have seen that there is nothing in existence except life. Every other thing is but a result of the operations of this mighty life spirit of which I am teaching you in this course of instruction. Remember that, please. If you were to take life out of the world, there would be nothing left. Nothing. Which is now here would decay, and a grim silence, the grim silence of death, would ensue. Suppose you imagine for a few moments here what this old world would be like if there were no life in it. Imagine your awakening in the morning and finding that every single living thing but yourself had ceased to be. Not a living thing in existence, only you. Silence. Nothing but silence and death all around you. The stores would stand as they now stand, but customers and clerks would be missing. Not an animal on the street. The trees all die, and on every hand nothing but disintegration and death. It should not be so hard to imagine such a condition as that. So try it. Take the city in which you now live and try and imagine the city as being a city of no life except yourself. Then you'll be able to see what an immense thing a living person is. Take electricity and the great factories and workshops. Take the thousands of automobiles that flash past us on the streets. Take all the bustle and noise. Take our large scientific laboratories. They all exist only because life exists. And it is perfectly allowable and also perfectly true to say that nothing exists except life. This being a fact, then you, as you read this, are yourself, the greatest thing in the created universe. You are life. I so hope that I successfully drive this fact home to you. Because if I do, it will give you a picture of yourself that you have never had before. I promise you that. We are so used to seeing life and things all about us that we overlook the magnitude of the scheme as it exists. The farmer on the farm becomes so used to sowing the grain and reaping the harvest that he seldom ever thinks of the miracle of the transformation of one grain of wheat into several hundreds. Life was created where before it did not exist. It was transferred to where it was not before. But the farmer never does sit down and try to analyze just how or why this marvelous transformation occurs, nor does he seem interested in it. He's become so used to the miracle that is a matter of everyday fact with him, and so he pays no attention at all to it. So you and I have become so used to life that we take it as a matter of course, and unless deadly in earnest, we do not take much interest in it. For all we know, the secret of the whole scheme might very easily be within our grasp, but we never give a second thought to that possibility. We see life around us on every hand. Black life, yellow life, brown life, every conceivable form of life, and yet we pay no attention to it, just taking it as a matter of course. Therefore, the greatest thing in the world has become so common to us that we do not pay attention to it at all. Those who want to be successful in life will go chasing this rainbow and that rainbow. They will search here and they will search there. They will buy this theory and they will buy that theory. They will follow every psychological faker that comes along. They have gone to the church and the preachers to try and find out more, but silence has rewarded their efforts. Some charlatan or other comes along, and these good earnest souls are to be found following in the bandwagon. First here, then there. First they look to religion, then they look to the skies and elsewhere. I wish I had the money right now that has been spent by honest, intelligent souls in trying to find something of the secret underlying the universe. They want to be successful. They want to be happy. They want to be healthy. And so millions of dollars have been paid by them in what to date seems to have been a somewhat fruitless search for truth. And they never find it. I'm not interested in money very much as such. I'm only interested in it as a means to an end in the age in which we are living, which age happens to be a monetary age. But had I the cash that has been thrown away on this eternal search for the truth, I should be able to put my teaching all over the world in mighty rapid order and not charge for it either. For it has gone practically all over the world as it is. And this notwithstanding the fact that I do make charge for it. But let me repeat that had I the money that good souls have spent trying to find God or some little truth of life, I should certainly have a lot of it. And it is quite reasonable for those good honest souls to try to find out the very finest things of life. It is perfectly all right for them to try and discover the secret of life if they can. These souls are the ones who will pioneer the way into the spiritual realm, and they will. Many of them never let up until they do find the truth, as it does exist. But they look everywhere except in the right place. They follow this cult, and after having proven that it does not give them much lasting satisfaction, they switch to that cult. After having tried them out also, they finally drift into the study of so-called psychology. They will learn something in the realm, all right. They will learn nothing of the truth of the spiritual realm through any system of supernaturally revealed religion. But they will find it in the realm of the new psychology. It was in this realm that I found the first faint glimmer of light that led me to discover the truth of God as I believe it to exist. It exists for me, and I know full well it exists for many hundreds of my students. This lesson is being written at 3:45 in the morning, and after a busy Monday at the study, hundreds of letters came to me from students, and while it is perhaps impertinent to this lesson, I am going to mention a fact which cannot be duplicated by any teacher in existence. I don't believe I probably answered today over 200 personal letters from students in all parts of the country. I receive many, many letters from students in all parts of the country. I receive many, many letters of praise. I receive hundreds of letters in which my students thank me from the bottom of their hearts for showing them the spiritual truths this course of instruction discloses. And these letters make me very happy, and I get quite used to them. I should think something radically wrong if ever one mail went by without bringing me many letters from students thanking me for these truths. But in dictating the last group of letters today, 29 of them, one after another, all contain the word wonderful. Think of that, 29 letters, one after another, and taken as they came, all spoke in no uncertain terms of the actual literal value of my teaching, and all used the word wonderful. Most of the writers of those letters, in fact all of them, were people of intelligence and ability, and some of them were quite prominent people. But they have learned to look for the answer to life's problems in the proper place. Many of them used to attend this church and that church. They bought this course of psychology, and they bought that course, and they did not find spiritual truth in any of them. But when their thoughts were intelligently directed into the realm from which all life and all truth come, naturally, they are made happy, and they write to me out of the fullness of their hearts. Life, that is the place in which to learn the secrets of the spiritual realm. For there is no other realm. Take life out of the world and death results. There is nothing in existence more than life. And you, my friend, are life. Think it over. You are life, and life is everything there is in existence. At least, it is the primary cause of everything in existence, and I am not so much interested in anything that is not connected with life, which is God, or which is truth. God is life, invisible life. He never was anything else, and the life you possess is a part of the great life, which great life is everything in existence. You would not attempt to tell me that there exists any power other than the power of the mighty life spirit, would you? It would do you no good, for I know better. There's never been known to exist any other power or any greater power than the power of life. The mighty invisible life spirit, and you are a part of that spirit of life. Then it must follow that wrapped up you are all the powers of creation. It could not be any other way. And you may depend upon it, my friend, that this is a fact. If you want things in life that you do not possess, then the power to obtain these things lies in the great life spirit, which spirit operates now as an invisible God law for your use. And you can use this mighty law whenever you want to use it for the manifestation of whatever it is you need. You are alive, are you not? Then you are God. You are the mighty life spirit in essence. You must be. You have to be. If you were not, you couldn't exist one split second. So don't go howling around the country telling people that you never had a chance. You had all the chance in the universe, and there was all the power in the universe to back you up also, but you didn't know it. You are finding that out now, though. If you are one of the many, you have already used and are still using this mighty God law for the manifestation of the things you desire. I have not the slightest use for any doctrine which tries to tell you and me that we are supposed to be content with our lot here, spending whatever spare time we may possess in an attempt to win a home in heaven. I do not want to hurt anyone's feelings, nor would I wish to discredit any doctrine they may believe, for everyone has the right to believe that the moon is made of green cheese if they care to. That does not make cheese out of the moon, though. Neither does the fact that hundreds of thousands believe the home in heaven dogma have the slightest effect upon the truth or the falsity of that dogma. Personally, I don't believe it, nor can any proof in substantiation of its unusual claims ever be adduced. It has no evidence to offer proving its claims. It never had any evidence, and furthermore, it never will have. But I have no quarrel with those believing such an impossible theory, for it's a senseless theory. It does not appeal to one's reason, and there is nothing unreasonable in the whole spiritual realm. Remember that. That these good people and these good denominations spend a lot of time and much money in trying to convert the world, which, by the way, They have been trying to do for quite some time now, and the world is much further from acceptance of their impossible story than it ever was before. But these good folks continue to propagate their story, and they give it to the public as truth. This they have a right to do. I, in turn, have the right to tell people that the story is not true if I wish to, and if I can prove my statement, this I can do. There is no reasoning mind that can accept this story with reason. It is based entirely on faith. And the funny part of it is that no one knows on what the faith is pinned. No, my friend, you can very safely discard all such hopes and all such stories, and you will have to discard them before you ever find anything at all about the spiritual God law as it really exists. Never mind the home in heaven. Try and get a home down here. Never mind the wings and the angels and the great white thrones. Try and get you a throne of your own down here. Let the angels be your own thoughts of the mighty life spirit and manifest the presence of God through deeds here and now. The future will take care of itself if you find God here. I'm not at all a materialist, for I know too much about the mighty spiritual God law as it really exists to be such. But I am in favor of an understanding of the spiritual realm of God, here and now. Life is here. We have it. Death to date has always appeared also, but I am not one of those who accept the fact of death without at least making an intelligent analysis and investigation of the whole subject to find out whether the spiritual truth, fully known, death is at all necessary. Certainly the solution to the scheme lies in life itself. It cannot lie beyond the tomb, for there can be no land of that sort. The chances are, my friend, many to one, that when they lay you down under 6 feet of earth, that is the end of you. I shall not dogmatize here, however, for, of course, I may be wrong. I don't think so, however, and as far as eternal life goes, I'm not so sure that the day will not come when it will be the natural thing right here on this earth. It is a very cowardly thing to do, to tell you and me that we're not supposed to know anything at all about life and death until we die. Well, heaven knows, it will probably be too late then to find out anything about it. And if our good church friends should be wrong, and they can't prove they are not wrong, then what a responsibility lies upon their head. Never mind this world's goods, they tell us. The Lord will take care of you in heaven. Well, I don't believe that either. There may be a life after death, and again, there may not be. And whether there is or not, we know the mighty God law exists here and now. And we know that the God law is life. We also know that it can be used for the manifestation of everything we need here and now. So why worry about heaven? You are now a very vital part of the creative life spirit which brought every created thing into being. Without you, there could be no life at all. Take every individual out of existence and try to imagine what a world would be. It would stagnate and die, and I want you to think of this a little. All we know of God is tied up and manifested here in the human race, not in any one sect or race, but in them all. There may be other planets on which similar life manifests, but this we do not know. As far as the mighty life spirit goes, on this earth at least, it is contained in its entirety in the human family, and any revelation from the spiritual realm of God must come from some member of the human family. There will never be any angels come down from the sky to tell us something about God. Not at all. There never have been such happenings, and there never will be. For you and I have seen that God is a self-existing, unseen spiritual law which operates here and now in behalf of every man and woman. I might say that the God law operates automatically, for that is just what it does. Whenever and wherever the conditions are complied with, the law works. And if there be limitations to it, I have not yet been able to find them. And this God law is awaiting your call now. The power of the mighty life spirit is at your disposal. You may not know it, however, and if you do not know it, then what a pity it is. For the power of the life spirit will only work when put into action. It is something like a radio battery. You cannot see the electrical energy stored in it, but it is there, and you will know it is there when you touch the battery. So with the power of the invisible God law Here it is, all around you. You can't see it. You want to use it. You believe it to be there. In fact, you know it is there. Now, how to put it into action is the thing to lock into now. The first thing for you to realize is that you are life. In other words, you are yourself, a manifestation of the same spiritual God law that brought into being every created thing. You must realize that to the very full. Try and think of one single thing that can compare to a man. You cannot do it. Look around the world, take its seven wonders and compare them with man, and you cannot make a comparison at all. For man is so far superior to anything else that he cannot be compared. Now listen, there lies tied up in every human life all of God there is. Remember the illustration I used some time back about the Pacific Ocean and the bucket of water. This is what I mean here, and you must stay with this thought until you absolutely feel its knowledge, which is its power, going through and through you. There never was a created thing manifesting as much of God as you manifest. You can talk, you can think, and you have already seen there is a permanent and always open connection between you and the entire spiritual realm, and you must live in the conscious realization of this momentous spiritual fact. When you awaken in the morning, you should be so still that you can realize anew the marvels of conscious relation to the life spirit. If you were not a manifestation of this mighty spirit, you would never leave your bed. But you are a manifestation of this mighty spirit, and the permanent connection with it is in your hands as long as you are alive. And the conscious realization of this power is all that is needed to bring the material manifestation of whatever it may be you need. This life of conscious union with God is not a blustery life. Usually, it is a very quiet life, but from its hidden depths springs wells of quiet, invisible power. This spiritual power, which may not be recognized as spiritual power, always overcomes whatever things there may be that are not so good for you. It invariably points the way to the very highest and noblest things life holds. It leads to the source of all supply, for it is the God law, and never can it fail. And you must here realize this fact. There can arise in life no circumstance which cannot be overcome by applying the great invisible God law, which is so close at hand. Let us take, for instance, a specific case, which is very characteristic of possibly hundreds of thousands of other cases. Here is a family living in a little home. Business depression has cost the husband his job. The little kitties are not dressed as well as they should be, and there is an overabundance of supply of food in the house. Wages being small at best, there is, of course, no money in the bank. Perhaps what little might have been there we diminish through sickness of some sort, but at any rate, here is this family with a future that is none too rosy. Now, according to the average way of thinking, there is no possible way out for this man or his family. He will probably begin to worry and fret and stew, and the more he does that, the deeper does he go into the mire and less competent is he to help himself. Finally, if things get bad enough, starvation faces the family and they are thrown upon the resources of their country or state or some other charitable institution. In passing, I might state that it would be a good thing if every charitable institution in existence were abolished. And so matters go on in this little family from bad to worse. This man knows nothing at all about the power of the great unseen God law. He has been told, of course, that he was born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and is supposed to be constant with his lot and leave everything in the hands of the Lord. This would probably be good advice if he were told the truth about this Lord proposition. But the only Lord he knows anything about is a judge who after death will stand him before a bar of judgment and punish him for his sins or reward him for his good deeds. This man has been told nothing about an existing intelligence or spiritual power which can and does operate for the supplying of his material needs here and now. Consequently, the man cannot be blamed for worrying and becoming desperate, and in many cases cursing the system of which he is a part. Such teachings concerning God invariably lead to communism and other things worse among certain classes of people. Now, what is the actual fact concerning this little family and its circumstances? If this man knew of the existence of the great, mighty, invisible God law, and if he knew for a positive fact that this creative intelligence is responsible for every created thing upon the earth, and if he knew this great spirit was life itself, and if he knew all supply of everything came from this master intelligence, don't you see how little worry there would be in this man's life, provided he knew how to throw into action the power of this great, providing eternal, unchangeable God law? This man then would know that every need would be supplied, and if he had been taught simple faith in this marvelous existing spiritual power, don't you see that it would not be long until the conditions surrounding that little family would be changed? Then, instead of thinking and struggling against so-called circumstances, this man would rise above them, and by and through the power that gave him life, the greatest thing in the world, by the way, he would rise superior to and master circumstances, and would, if you please, put into operation a spiritual law which would respond according to the needs and desires of his individual case. It may be that the student reading this lesson is in similar circumstances to the ones I have related, and it may be that such student is not quite clear as to how to apply this unfailing spiritual law for the changing of adverse conditions. If such be the case, I want to give this student just one fundamental rule to follow, and if he follows this rule to the letter, I can assure him that those circumstances will be changed in short order. The first thing for such a one to do is to realize that he himself is the greatest manifestation of the God law in existence. If he puts out his mind all thoughts of being a lost soul and pilgrim and all the rest of that stuff, realizes that wrapped up in him is more of this life spirit than there is in any other created thing, then do you not see the hope and positive assurance and confidence that will come into that life? The moment this truth of existence is recognized, in the place of despair comes confidence, and confidence in the law of God is the key which unlocks the door to the spiritual realm of supply. And it is the switch which, when thrown, sends the God current coursing through all this man's life and circumstances. Now, the second play for this person to make after he has recognized that he himself is a very fundamental part of the great God law is for him to let his desires be made known to this great intelligent thinking God law itself. Now, how will he do that? Here is how he will do it. Filled with the confidence of the omnipotent, immutable, omniscient, all-pervading, self-existing, and all-providing God law, and knowing that this law is life itself, he will speak into existence the material needs he desires. Let me try to make it a little more concrete by placing myself in those circumstances. If this morning I were in circumstances as above described, there would be no worry, no fretting, no fear in my life at all. In fact, I could not give a second thought to it, for I've learned and proved the power and existence of the great spiritual law I am teaching. So under those circumstances, I would keep exceptionally quiet and would audibly command material needs to be supplied by using the following sentence: "Let there be a fullness of supply." I would transmit that desire with childlike confidence into the great spiritual realm of God and leave it there. Then, if I were out of work, I would make every effort to procure it, and with all the power and wisdom of the great creative God law behind me, I would instinctively be led by this great life spirit to where work was to be had. My own inclination might lead me somewhere else, but if the switch were thrown and I were resting in that complete confidence which the knowledge of this great God law brings, then just as surely as the day follows the night would be the supreme living intelligence led me aright. It would be foolish and presumptuous for me to try to explain the process by which I would be led into channels whereby those circumstances would be changed. For no man can do this, and neither would I be concerned about the spiritual operations which directed my footsteps and my actions in the proper channel. The results would be sure, therefore, I would be very foolish to question how or why. Furthermore, If I should raise these questions, the law governing them would be hindered. For as I have tried to impress upon you all through this teaching, the key that unlocks the door of God's great storehouse is belief in the God law itself. If a perfect confidence in this great law be manifested under those conditions, and the smile of confidence worn on the face, no matter how black the future may look, no matter how undesirable physical and material conditions may be, one could shout for joy if he only knew it, because with one's connection with the God law once established, relief is sure. I think those of my students in circumstances not to their liking will grasp what I have so earnestly tried to teach in this lesson. And I mean it literally too. I am not theorizing, nor am I taking any aeroplane trip in the hazy realm of metaphysics. I'm talking about a reality. I'm talking about the great God law which manifested life in the first place. I am talking about the great God law in whom dwells intelligence and wisdom enough to direct every man and woman so that all things whatsoever that they need for their own good can be supplied. One does not need to argue about the existence of the God law, for arguing about it will not change it or prove its existence. All one has to do is just simply put it to the test with childlike faith and find out whether or not it works. If our statesmen and lawmakers realize this stupendous fact now, and if the nations of the world realized it, the saddened conditions of affairs would be changed very shortly. Now, until you get your next lesson, if there are circumstances surrounding you which you want to change, and if this change is in tune with the mighty God law, let me suggest that you first be sure of your spiritual connection with this God law, and then speak into existence the conditions you desire. Do not misunderstand me here. It may take weeks or months or perhaps years for the things you need to really manifest themselves. They do not usually spring into existence by any miraculous means, but I will say this to you. The greater the need, the greater and the quicker the supply. As a matter of fact, the realization of one's own oneness with the great life spirit is in itself the beginning of the actual thing desired. Thousands of people write me regarding conditions of poverty and illness. In cases of illness, let me suggest the same method be followed. Place the right hand on the forehead of the afflicted, and with perfect confidence and power, say quite audibly and with lots of force, "Let there be perfect health." If you have faith in the God law, even as a grain of mustard seed, what will happen will stagger you. You do not have very much faith, then repeat this operation every day, all the while increasing in intensity and confidence. And let me say to you once more that according to your faith in the great God law will it be done unto you. We shall not go any farther now. You have 2 weeks in which to actually apply the great God law literally in your life or in the lives of others around you. And in conclusion, let me state that you will never exhibit even the suspicion of a grain of real confidence in this great God spirit without the results being sure. Sincerely, your friend and teacher, Frank B. Robinson. Examination questions for lesson number 17. These examination questions are for your benefit, and you should know the answers to them all. If they are not clear to you, read your lesson again and again until they are clear. 1. Why would it be true to say that nothing exists except life? 2. We can become so used to a miracle that we cease to pay any attention to it. Illustrate this. 3. What is the answer to a man who complains that he never has had a chance? 4. In what respect does the power of the life spirit resemble a radio battery? 5. Contrast the behavior of the husband of a little family overtaken by misfortune when A. he knows nothing of the God law, and B. he regulates his conduct by the God law. 6. There has never been known to exist any greater power than the power of life. So if you are part of that spirit of life, what follows? 7. As a human being, you manifest more of God than does any other created thing. How so? 8. What is the key which unlocks the door to the spiritual realm of supply? 9. If there be circumstances surrounding you that you want to change, what is the first step to be taken? 10. What is the next step? Anything further? 11. What is the beginning of the actual thing desired? 12. In treating cases of illness, describe the procedure. So, to once again remember, the first affirmation that I really liked was, let there be a fullness of supply. So under those circumstances, when things are rough, be confident, don't worry, don't fret, keep exceptionally quiet, and audibly command material needs to be supplied by using the sentence, let there be a fullness of supply. I would like, if you can, to please report back if you try that and you find some success. In fact, please let me know if you've used any of his exercises and noticed a difference in particular because of the exercises that you tried in this program. I would love your feedback. Remember at the end, the technique for helping someone to heal. Put your fingers on their forehead and say, let there be perfect health. I'm going to try this. I would like to know if you could try it and let me know and come back. The way that Frank Robinson describes the grandeur of God and links you to it, it's very similar but so different than Neville Goddard. You are God. His discussion of life in this particular essay is beautiful and it's so true. We take it for granted so much. The teeming life outside of my door, every bug, every insect, every bird, it's something I'm noticing more and more in everything. The life is so abundant here, and we are a part of it. We're not separate from it. We are the life. Such a wonderful thought, such a powerful thing. So I would love to get your feedback if you try these exercises, and can't wait to get to lesson 18. We're getting close to finishing. There's only 20 lessons in this round. If anybody knows how to access the advanced course lessons that are level 2 for Psychiana, please let me know. Contact me, email me, because I have not been able to find those advanced courses that are also offered for Psychiana. In any case, check out the aura training that we have in the description. It's a set of wonderful lectures that we had around RealityCon. RealityCon is coming soon, I promise. I'm trying to find a good date for it. Can't wait to meet you. Find some ways to have some open dates where I can come out and meet some people. I am so inspired and happy for everything that you do for my channel, everybody that comes to chat. I love you all so much. I wish I could truly express how much love I have and how much gratitude I have for every single person that listens to the podcast, every single one. I love you so much. I'm wishing you the very best and imagining with the great God law that you have the most perfect life and you apply these lessons in the most divine way. You can find all episodes of The Reality Revolution at therealityrevolution.com. And welcome to the Reality Revolution.